mouthing that word. It's 5. And the thing is, in my head, I was thinking, I was going through the whole list of things it could be. All right, we got to stop. It's 503-733-2970. It's the Rick Emerson Radio program. Coming up later on, Scott Daly will be here. We'll talk about bad movies you can't quit watching. Lisa Goddard will be talking to us as well. CNN radio correspondent Jim Roop. We got to get to the news, but I just got to say two things quickly. One, Scotty said the greatest thing. Scotty is like Ringo Starr. He really is the Ringo Starr of the Rick Emerson program.
Who are the rest of us?
Tim is George, you're Paul, and I'm John.
I'm going through a terrible divorce with a one-legged woman.
Yes. No, Tim is stinky and you're cute and I'm by default John. I'm not John because he's the cool dead one. I'm just saying that there's no, I can't be the cute one. I don't know where we're going with this. Anyway, the point is, I got nothing. No, and Tim is the mysterious intellectual of the show. That can't go to Scotty, but Ringo Starr was the one who said, like, oh, it's been a hard day's night and 8 days a week. And he always had these malapropisms, he would say, these sort of, where he would mangle things. And
Scotty is really genius. I don't think anyone, like, actually realizes and appreciates this genius.
No, and he comes up with great little word jewels. Like, in the hallway, just if we enter that segment, Scotty's just like, I sure do have a lot of hate fans. Which is a phrase I've never heard before, but it's perfect. Scotty has a lot of hate fans. It's true. It's like hate. Aww. Sex. It's like a grudge F. He has grudge fans. Hate fans. And then he says this, and I'm going to let you complete this sentence. And I'm wondering if I should have the listeners do it. I'll have the listeners do it too, for Chelsea Handler tickets. Listen to that. Scotty just said this, and I'm going to give you this phone number, and then we'll go to the news. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. The first call, Scotty, I swear to God, if you screen people out, we'll beat you. We'll just say the first caller who can actually get this. Scotty said this to me during the break, because I'd said that he looked so much like William H. Macy, who's an actor who's been in many David Mamet films. He was in Boogie Nights, blah, 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 blah. And I said, well, Scotty looks a lot like William H. Macy, sort of a younger version, like in 20 years. Scotty during the break says, I don't see that William H. Macy thing at all. I mean, I can see blank. Not Brian Blank, but he says, I can see so-and-so, and he mentions another celebrity, but not William H. Macy. So I'm not going to say who it is. I'm not going to say who it is. But we will, the first caller who can guess what celebrity Scotty compared himself to physically, appearance-wise. Scotty said, I don't see the William H. Macy thing at all. I mean, I can see blank, but I don't see the William H. Macy thing. 503-733-2970. Your president, prophet, seer, and revelator. The moment you've been waiting for, it's Tim Riley.
Time for the Rick Emerson Noon News Hour from AM 970 Solid State Radio. And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Well, you'll be pleased to know that Broughton Bishop is feeling better.
Who?
Okay, you know all about Broughton Bishop.
Who?
The nation does. Television viewers, internet gawkers, all know about Broughton Bishop.
Who?
Broughton Bishop.
How long can I do this?
Do you know who he is?
No.
Yes, you do.
Okay, well, the story's done then. Next.
He is the driver of the car. The car.
The car?
The car.
The family car?
The family car.
The family car.
That went down the hill and smashed into all the other cars. He is the unknown driver.
Oh, not anymore. So, I thought you said it was a woman.
That's what I thought. Originally they said it was a woman, but, you know, people are wrong. If they don't check these things, there's nobody working to check them. I mean, we're not alone in this.
A bunch of idiots in rooms pounding on typewriters creating Shakespeare.
Right.
Broughton Bishop.
So, what about Broughton Bishop? Well, he's 79 years old.
Oh,
of
course.
And thankfully, he only suffered a gash to the head. He declined an ambulance ride and eventually made his way to work. At the Pendleton Woolen Mills. That's his family's business.
That is fantastic. This is genius. First of all, 79. Let's all be surprised by that. And then he got to work that day in that car?
It doesn't say.
At the wool mills?
But he made his way to his office at the Pendleton Woolen Mills. That's his family business.
That's fantastic. And now he's, you know, Letterman played that video.
Mm-hmm.
Letterman played that video last night. And it was like, here's Lindsay Lohan on the way to rehab. And then they played that video. You know what? I guarantee you somebody, some auto dealer is going to step up and give him a new car. I will guarantee you. If it hasn't happened already, some auto dealer is going to step up and give that guy a car like right now.
Who's going to fix it for free and get all the publicity?
Susan Reynolds, I'm looking in your direction. All right. Let's make him drink a lot of something before we'll do it. Let's make him drink 4 gallons of maple syrup.
So it didn't turn out to be Broughton Bishop's day off. He did go into work.
I'm sorry, you're going to have to drink 4 gallons of Bosco. Really, that's... I'm impressed that the guy made it to work.
Not want to be interviewed.
No, you know what? You know what it is? Why? Because he's a man. He's a man from a different generation,
a different time.
He's part of the greatest generation. All right.
So there.
Excellent.
He feels better.
Let's see here. Jason, which celebrity do you believe that Scotty J believes himself to look like?
I think Matt Damon.
Matt Damon. No.
That's what I said, too.
No. So
nope.
That's not what he said, but sorry about that.
Okay, thanks a lot.
All right, there you go. Here's Tim Riley.
Now, getting back to this other thing here, although alcohol is suspected of having played a role in the death of that 9-year-old girl in the coupe and the inner tube accident, remember her dad attached the inner tube to the back of the truck?
Yes.
And right after the crash, this guy, Gecko, takes his daughter to Legacy. Calling 911.
I was going
to
say,
his lawyer.
Was that after calling 911?
Now, police believe alcohol played a part in the accident, but because of where the girl was taken to Oregon, a blood sample could not have shed light on whether Gecko had been drinking.
I don't understand.
Well, here's why. Under Washington law, any driver involved in any fatal accident has to automatically submit to a blood test. However, Oregon law is different, and while at the hospital in Portland, Gecko refused to give a blood sample.
Are you kidding me?
No. And there's more to this. A parenting plan, which carries the force of a court order, barred this guy and his wife from drinking and then driving with their children.
Where does he live? Where does his
Vancouver.
Residence? So his All right. So he's. I'm going to try very hard to just rein it in today because I let this get me very angry yesterday. So he lives. This man lives in Vancouver.
Yes.
He was wheeling around a playground with his daughter tethered to the back of his truck in an inner tube, not secured to the inner tube. Of course, she was 9. Mm-hmm. He's wheeling around the playground.
Hits a bench.
She hits a brick wall. He opts not to call 911. He instead calls his lawyer. He takes her I know that it's Vancouver, but they have hospitals there. I've seen them. He takes her across state lines to a Oregon hospital where he then refuses a blood test, which would have shown whether or not alcohol was in his system. I'm not saying that's because he and his wife were forbidden from having any alcohol.
Well, hospital employees said they smelled alcohol in his breath.
All right. Is there any more news on that guy?
No.
Okay. You'll forgive me if I say that I'm glad and that I don't... Yeah. Yeah, we got to not talk about that guy because it's filling me
so
today.
So towing sleds, inner tubes, even though it is stupid, but towing sleds, inner tubes, and any other device with a vehicle, whether on a roadway or private property, is illegal in Washington State.
Is it illegal?
Yeah.
So that's illegal. So at the bare minimum, he was breaking the law doing that.
Right.
All right. Yeah. And All right. I'm not. Yeah. I'm sorry. I'm not going to let it get. I'm not going to let it make me angry. Just that guy, man. I swear to God.
Think of something more pleasant. Like your sweater.
You shut your mouth on my sweater. We never did talk about that, by the way. All right. I'm going to make a note. Sweater and in one segment, let's talk about Cher and my sweater. Sweater and Cher. that's my thing, like the Matt Damon. That's my chair. I can't really do a Cher impression, but the thing is, if you say it Cher and then talk that like a cow, everybody sort of gets it, you know. Hello, and everybody sort of understands.
Cher doesn't talk like a cow.
When is the last time you really heard Cher sing?
I don't know.
I
tried to sing like her, and I'm not good at it.
Not on record. When is the last time you heard like today now Cher? chair now, brown cow.
Mermaids a couple of years ago.
Yeah, okay, Mermaids came out in like 1988. So I would encourage you to listen to Cher sing now. Again, she's a fantastic entertainer. She's great. Her place in the pop culture pantheon is secure. I'm just saying she's an underwater foghorn when she sings. Mm. It's a whole lot of... And that's it. Why do you think on that that Believe song they had to do that vocode thing on her vocals so heavily?
Because she's very talented.
I'm not disputing that she's a great entertainer. I'm saying that I believe Cher's singing voice has... It's just, it's reached a point where it is, it's a little low and thick for my taste. That's all I'm saying. Okay. Hey, let's, Bob, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. What celebrity do you think Scotty believes himself to look like?
Corky from Life Goes On.
That's wrong. Okay, that's just mean. You're just being an ass. Just being an ass. All right. Scotty just typed on the screen, hot body. All right. Thank you, sir.
No problem.
Yeah, it's just being an ass. No. All right, here's Tim Riley.
So let's talk about spanking the kids.
Let's talk about spanking the children, indeed. But the best thing is, what is the? Do you have the actual the Yahoo story I printed out? What is the headline there?
No spank bill on way.
I hope they don't pass a no spank bill.
Under a proposed bill, spanking a child under the age of 3 would be a misdemeanor, and the offender could be fined up to $1,000. Victoria Wiley is a mother of an infant, and she has a few doubts about the proposal based on privacy issues.
Imagine spanking anybody, a child under 3 in the first place, but I think it's kind of hard to enforce, and it's kind of a little big brother to me.
Misdemeanor? Was that you or was that the sound clip? I just heard like a dull thud of a tin can.
Oh, our tin can fell over.
I thought maybe it was somebody beating a child with a can in the background. This is where, in California?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, all right.
More from California. Enter Kill.
Hold on. Wait, I did. Scotty.
Where's the cart?
Scotty, can you go?
Where are all the carts?
Where have all the carts gone?
How can we do a radio show without them?
Seriously. Scotty, can you go get my Law and Order? Bed.
It's to the
right of Scotty's.
And the fog hog, please.
Yeah, no, it's to the right. Yeah, it's to the right of Smokey. You know that Tim Smokey prep area back there. Let's go back to this thing for a second in California.
Imagine.
Oh, so the baby in the background, boy. What is it that the bill would what? You've thrown it away, haven't you?
No, I have it right here.
Oh, okay.
Well, Assemblywoman Sally Lieber wants to outlaw spanking children up to 3 years old. If she succeeds, California would become the first state in the nation to explicitly ban parents from smacking their kids.
Well, seriously, like, okay, we should get the suburban perspective on that later on, don't you think? Yeah, see?
About child rearing? Oh, that's brilliant.
Scotty, will you give us your thoughts on rearing children?
About pussifying young people.
There's take either joke, whichever one you find funnier. Rearing. Okay, we're ready.
All right, attorneys for the family of the California woman who died after drinking too much water.
In what contest?
At Intercom's Wee contest.
Wee.
Could file a civil lawsuit next week. Jennifer Strange, as we know, died a few hours after taking part in the contest, requiring the participants to drink large amounts of water in order to win a Nintendo Wii. Roger Dreyer, the attorney for the victim's family, say the
How ironic is that name?
Mm-hmm.
Dreyer.
Mm-hmm. He will most likely file a civil suit against the radio station, and anyone who knew the contest could have had a dangerous outcome.
If they will not give me that information without me filing a lawsuit, then I'm going to have to file a lawsuit. We're not going to file it unless we believe it's meritorious and it's righteous.
Oh, boy. You know, I just don't even know now. I don't even know who to root for here. On the one side, Intercom. On the other side, a lawyer. I don't even... And you can picture that guy, too, can't you? Mm-hmm. You close your eyes, picture him. All right.
Richard Dreyer says it's not just the radio station in jeopardy.
We're not talking about just the radio, but Nintendo, potentially the people that were promoting the concert. We think that had any role in knowledge in the contest, if they knew what the contest was, and if they didn't take any action, if they were participants, there may also be a problem for the sponsor.
All right, well, see, here's the thing. This is why people hate lawyers, by the way, because now he's done that thing. He's done that thing of jumping the track. And he's gone. Now, I don't know the particulars of this contest. I was talking to Susan Reynolds about this yesterday. I don't know the particulars of this contest and how it worked and blah, 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 blah. But, I mean, But he's jumped from the radio station now to Nintendo, which is that whole, the gun manufacturer should have known. That's that whole school of thought. So, well, all right, whatever.
Jennifer Strange didn't know what she was in for.
Jennifer Strange was not some 18-year-old kid who was just wanting to be wild and reckless and get on some crazy movie. This is a woman, like a lot of people involved in that contest, who was trying to do something for her family and do something fun and had no concept of what the consequences were.
Wait, let me understand this. So it's more understandable because she's older. So she's older, and so therefore it's more understandable that she would drink gallon after gallon of water and not let herself urinate.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what you do when you're like 20. All right, well, whatever. All right, let's see. This is, wait, I'm sorry. What are we, Scotty, is this, on line four, is there somebody giving a kooky radio name that they want to come on the air with? Why does it say Betsy Ross? That's not a real name. No one is named Betsy Ross.
Maybe the family's patriotic.
All right. Hello, Betsy?
Hello.
Hi. What celebrity do you believe Scotty J thinks that he looks like?
Well, actually, I had three.
Okay.
Okay.
Now,
I was thinking Alfred E. Newman from Mad Magazine.
Yes. No.
Very possibly Howdy Doody. Or the kind one would be Ron Howard.
Ron Howard. No. I don't see that. I don't see the Ron Howard thing. Clint Howard,
perhaps. I think that William H. Macy, as a younger man, was probably not as good looking as any of those.
I just saw William H. Macy as a younger man the other day in the movie House of Games with Joe Mantegna. He was a gawky looking bastard. You're right. I mean,
he had to have something to get Felicity. I mean, come on.
And no, he looked. That's true. Felicity Huffman. It's because he's got a certain. He's William H. Macy has grown into his looks. He's become a more handsome man as he has aged.
Yeah, well, that's like your opinion.
Well, all right, little Miss Fang, little Miss Meow. I'm gonna move on now. That's Betsy. All right.
Bye.
There. All right. Yeah. Okay. Thanks. It's 503-733-297. Sorry. I'll be giving my thoughts. It's all my opinion. Jesus God Almighty.
I think she needed a hug.
Well, and some bran. Let's see. We'll do one more, and then we'll talk to Tim. Oh, and then Susan Reynolds is calling. Chad, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. What celebrity do you believe Scotty J thinks he resembles?
Well, I'm gonna guess Willem Dafoe.
No, Willem. Nah, I gotta quit doing that with everything that ends in mm.
I know he couldn't have said Brad Pitt. Bam!
It's funny.
I'm sorry. I like you, Scotty. I'm sorry.
Were you thinking Willem Dafoe in Shadow of the Vampire? Were you thinking Willem Dafoe in The Deer Hunter? Any particular era Willem Dafoe? I mean, that's wrong, but were you thinking, I mean, we're talking about who looks like Scotty J. Were you thinking a particular era of Willem Dafoe?
What was that movie he did where he was the gay detective?
I don't know the answer to that. Sarah?
Neither do I.
Tim?
I don't know.
No one knows, sir. You're not thinking of... What is that other... The gay detective? I don't know the answer to that. I was just going to... No, I have nothing. No, we'll find out.
I saw it late night on cable one night. I thought he did such a great job with the character. Seriously, I have no idea what Scotty looks like. I haven't had internet access since I moved to this new place, so I have
like
no idea
blind
what he looks
guess.
Like. I'm totally taking a shot.
You're totally making a blind guess. That's fantastic. Well done, sir. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, ever.
Thank you. That's Chad there. We have Chelsea Handler tickets if you can guess who Scotty believes that he looks like celebrity-wise. Okay, well, let's do this. Let's, and then we'll continue with the news. Talk to our good friend, Susan Reynolds, CBS radio marketing guru. Hello.
Hello. How are you?
I'm dandy. What's up with you, Susan?
Well, no, I was listening to all the chat about, the radio contest gone bad.
Yes.
And, here's the thing. I mean, yes, these people participate in these contests, and they always seem harmless, but, I know how we are with our lawyers and what we have to do to do even the simplest contest.
No, I was talking to somebody about this yesterday. There was some little bit of paperwork that had to be done or something. And
well, we always have them sign a release form.
Well, this was for something completely separate. I was talking to a guy who works at CBS, and he had to do a little. He had to draw up a little agreement about something,
mm-hmm.
and he'd drawn up like a one-page agreement. And I said, now I said, this is all, and he's like, so everything that needs to be taken care of is in this. And I said, that's all well and good. But here's what's going to happen. I'm going to send this off to the legal department, and it's going to come back with like a 55-page addendum on it, just because that's kind of the CBS way, which I say is neither good nor bad. That's just sort of ease the case. But you then appreciate that kind of thing whenever you read a story like this.
Well, I do know that anytime we do anything that's even the slightest bit controversial, let's say, or, you know, risky to the participant, you know, they do have to sign this form. But really, that form, if they die, is not going to hold up in court. And, you know, we always have to have, like, an EMT standing by or something. It sounds like they didn't do that.
No, well, no, and they also ignore the apparently the scores of people calling them going, someone's going to die, you know. And
yeah.
They would just scan through the phones and ignore the various proclamations of impending doom. So you are a radio veteran, though. What is the, let me ask you this, what is the worst, most embarrassing, most awkward, most hideous contest that you have been a part of? And don't say that you can't remember one, because I know you can.
Oh, I know I can. Well, there was this one time where at our sister station, KUFO, where we had tickets to see Tool.
Now, you'll note, by the way, that I did not lead you in the direction of that radio station. I let you pick freely from any number of places you may have worked.
Well, I mean, I've worked a lot of places. This is just one that comes to mind because of it was really just hideous. It sort of fits everything you just said.
Rick Emerson is a team player.
And this was the old days. I mean, we would never do anything like this now.
No, of course not. No, it's a radio station of taste and sophistication.
It is. And so then we had Tool tickets. You can just imagine the meetings that we had trying to figure out what to do with the Tool tickets. So we did this thing called, well, let me see how I could phrase this, the Tool poll. So it involved, you know, the weights that you use on the end of a fishing pole.
Yeah.
You know, and people had to, you know, use various parts of the body, let's say, to pull various things along in order to win the tickets.
Oh.
It was bad. And honestly, we had to, like, black out the windows because, you know, we were you know, we didn't want people to walk by and see what was going on.
Yeah. Do you lie to your children about what you do for a living?
No, they do know, but I don't give them every detail.
Do you ever go home sometimes and just want to, you just scrub yourself repeatedly with wire wool while in the shower? Just go home and just,
Well, you know, I will say this. Out of all the things that we've done, and there have been many, nobody has died, which is good.
There's a little chart on the wall.
I was reading all that stuff the other day about the station in Sacramento. All I kept thinking was just, you know, it's a horrible day for radio because generally, you know, we like to get on the news. We try. But really, the news stations don't care anymore. There's so much reality TV out there. People are willing to do stupid stuff all the time. No, the only way we're going to get in the paper now is if somebody dies.
Well, there's several observations. A, Tim noted that we should have one of those, like, X days without a listener fatality charts on the wall. Maybe at the new studio. And B, the best part about this story is that you'll note that they're doing what they never do, which is they're using the call letters and the frequency and the name of the company, and they're naming all the DJs, which they never do. Whenever you do anything right or correct, it's always like a local radio station. And then,
of course.
You know, they make sure to never name us. This time, though, like, you know, I know the call letters of the station, and I couldn't possibly care less about that station before this. So,
right. So it's not a very proud day for, you know, the radio business when, you know, all you can hear is people saying, stupid radio stunt, you know. And the other thing for me now, the sort of the litmus test is this promotion worth me losing my job over? And the answer to that every time is going to be no. Just for the record, so in case you're thinking up something.
The bar is set so low for our happiness, too. You know, we haven't killed anybody at this point. We should put out a press release announcing that we haven't killed anyone.
Well, okay, I guess I could do that.
I'm just saying, maybe I'll get a new positioning statement cut to that effect. Real quickly, do you know if anybody, and this is something that came in, do you know if anybody is giving that old guy a new car? The guy that slid down the hill and hit like 50 different vehicles? Man.
Yeah. Now that was the guy that they showed that footage on Channel 8, right?
Yeah, it was on King TV.
Yeah, well, you know, the really interesting thing is that that video was shot by a Beaverton school teacher who happens to work at my daughter's school. Like, she came home yesterday all excited because her teacher, one of her teachers, shot that video.
And it was on Letterman.
Yeah, and I tried to get in touch with him yesterday, and he replied back to me saying he's just overwhelmed with all the attention that he received. I don't know that anybody's offered this guy up a car.
I'm telling you, man, they're missing out. Rick Emerson knows what people respond to.
And Rick Emerson cares.
It's true.
As you've pointed out so many times.
And Rick Emerson hasn't killed anybody today. All right, so there you go. Susan Reynolds.
That is testament to how much you care.
Well, I try to get through. That's just going to be my new mantra, just to get through the day. All right, Susan Reynolds, CBS Radio, Portland Promotions and Marketing Guru. Thank you, Susan.
Oh, thank you.
All right, there you go. That's Susan Reynolds. All right, do we have to break? All right, we're so behind. All right, we've gotten to nothing. Wait. We'll come back and get more of these. The Scotty J resemblance contest. And Tim Riley. We got lots of news to get done today because we got the Scott coming in at 2. Scott Daly. All right. And we got to talk about sure later. And my sweater. Why did I just write sub? What does that mean? Sub. I just wrote that down here. And it doesn't make any sense. Sub sandwich? Subsistence? Subliminal? Yeah, I got nothing. Back after this is the Rick Emerson radio program. You say they were back after this. You cheap prick. Rick Emerson radio program, sub. I don't have any idea why I wrote this. I gotta quit staring at it. It's 503-733-2970. I love this bet. 503-733-2970. You can also email. It's rick@rickemerson.com. Tim Riley rejoins us in mere seconds for the Ministry of Truth. We got a pair of tickets to Chelsea Handler. Hey, Scotty, do we have one pair left or two? Is it two pair that we have? Because we tried to give away a pair. It didn't really work out. I think we have two pairs. Anyway, we got a pair of tickets to see Chelsea Handler, comedian and hot chick, next Friday at the Aladdin. So today we are giving those away to the first person who can correctly fill in this sentence. Scotty J said this to me during a break earlier in the program. I don't see the looking like William H. Macy thing at all. Blank, I could see, but not William H. Macy. What celebrity does Scotty J believe he resembles? Let's see. Sam, you're on the Rick Emerson program. Hello.
Hello there. Yeah, you had a couple different, I got one. I'm as far as Scotty J, I haven't really seen good pictures of him.
Well, here's the thing. Before we go any further, this is a contest, so you're allowed one official guess, and then you can,
okay. Well, for the ticket,
you only get one guess for the tickets.
Okay. This is not a guess, but I was going to say Forrest Whitaker.
Fantastic.
But my guess is Keither Sutherland with Down syndrome. Hello?
Hello. No, but that's a great guess. I can see Scotty as being sort of an emaciated Keither Sutherland. Like, if you put Keither Sutherland on some sort of watermelon diet for 6 months, I could see that almost.
Is he bloated?
Keither Sutherland or Scotty?
Scotty.
Scotty's not bloated, not externally. I mean, I don't know what his organs look like in any way. It's going to be another one of those days. I can already tell it's going to be one of those days where I'm going to try so hard to keep my mental car on the road.
I'll go with Forrest Whitaker then.
Thank you. I appreciate that. No, Keither Sutherland and Scotty have similar hair. I can almost see that.
Well. But they're really smart and savvy and conniving and...
Who?
Both of them.
Scotty J?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, he sounds smart. He doesn't act smart.
Well, please to be defining the difference between Scotty J sounds smart and acts smart. What is the difference, do you believe?
He's got a nerdy voice, but what comes out of his mouth is not so intelligent.
Oh, I see. So he doesn't sound smart, he sounds like a nerd. But then when he speaks... you believe that he sounds
like a dork.
That are your words.
And I love him.
Okay.
I'm not you know.
This call is just going on and on and on.
But, you know.
Never ending. This call can't be ended.
And I'm sorry about that.
I'm sorry. Oh, we're losing your phone, sir.
Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah.
What? Hello?
I'm on a home line.
I'm on a home line.
Here's Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth.
Well, let's talk about those kidnapped kids again today, shall we?
Best way to end that. Oh, God, is this...
They're all over the TV.
Do you believe your child was... is this like where Oprah was interrogating the parents about whether the kid was beaten with a corkscrew or something?
Well, it's a mixture of all kinds of television appearances, right. As one might expect.
It's a grab bag of abducted children.
Sean Hornbeck's mother, Pam, is asked on the Today Show why they and their son have agreed to do all these television shows.
We feel that it would help parents of other missing children out there to let them know that miracles do happen, that kids do survive, and that it is a possibility for their child to come home
also. That's exactly what parents in this country need, is false hope. That's really more than anything.
The milk carton come back to life.
That's exactly what they need, is false hope and pipe dreams. Nothing really helps them like an unattainable goal that will not happen to them. Well done, Pam.
Sean's father, Craig, is asked how he believes... Oh, we're going on to B now. Sean's father, Craig, is asked how he believes his son did not break free from accused kidnapper Michael Devlin.
Obviously, something was done to keep him there. You know, you can be bound mentally as well as physically.
What about that email Sean sent to a website his parents had set up for the public to help in the search?
That's one of the things that we talked about last night, and that's one of the things I'm sure that's going to haunt me for a long time to come, knowing that I sat there, read that message, and it just never in my wildest dream would I imagine that it was actually my son that had done that.
The whole thing is so creepy, and I know that it's wrong to say this about that kid because he's been... they say he was abducted and held against his will for 4 years. And I shouldn't... How old is he now?
14.
Yeah, who knows? 15, I mean,
14, 15.
That whole thing is just so bizarre. But I mean... I really just wish they would quit dragging that kid in front of the television cameras. It's all, of course,
the weekend's here. By the time Monday comes around, something else important will happen.
And I was going to say, and I am being a hypocrite, too, because I remember when Elizabeth Smart... Remember that blonde-haired, I say, as though it's an exception, that blonde-haired Mormon girl? She was kidnapped, and then...
Remember, I heard that Scarlett Johansson was going to play her in a movie.
Oh, that would be good.
Yeah, I know.
Oh.
Like your ultimate fantasy.
Seriously. Well, because... That sounds really creepy. Hot abducted girl. No, I'm just saying, any chance for Scarlett Johansson to play a hot Mormon girl, that's like all...
She's submissive.
Why do you have to put it that way?
Because that's exactly what you're thinking.
She wasn't really submissive. I mean, I think he had a knife. That's different than being normally submissive. Although, I say, in an awkward segue, because here's the thing about that Elizabeth Smart girl. And why would you say that? That it's important to me that she is submissive?
I think you like that. I think you would enjoy watching Scarlett Johansson play a Mormon girl that's been kidnapped and is submissive. That's all I'm saying.
What about that do you think would appeal to me, Sarah?
I don't know. You're kind of a freak. And you had a crush on the real Elizabeth Smart, so I'm thinking...
That's not accurate. She was like 12. That's wrong, and I didn't say that. That is your assessment of the situation. Okay. Stop it now.
You didn't have a crush on her.
Stop. Back up off this on-ramp, I beg of you.
But
please.
Scarlett Johansson's 22. It's okay.
Oh, yeah. And, anyway. Well, here's...
Not weird.
It's all got very awkward. But I said at the time, because remember, the guy came in a window... And it took the younger daughter, the sister, a while to say, like, yeah, a guy came in and he kidnapped Elizabeth. And Elizabeth, who was a very aesthetically pleasing Mormon girl, was gone for a long time. And then she just returned, and the family, and I guess they caught the guy or whatever, and I forget exactly the details, and they didn't really talk about it, and you never saw her again. That was the weird thing, right? You never saw her. She was gone. She gave no interviews.
There must be some place where she was sent.
Well, here's the thing. There is a book that I just read by a New York Times reporter called Under the Banner of Heaven, a guy named John Krakauer, who's written a bunch of... he wrote a book about climbing Mount Everest, da-da-da-da. He's a great reporter. A book called Under the Banner of Heaven. And Under the Banner of Heaven is an amazing book. About religious fundamentalism in America as it pertains to sort of crime and how a lot of times crime and sort of religious zealotry are tied together. And he does it all through the prism of the Mormon Church, tracing the Mormon Church from its very beginnings. And that's why it interests me, because my wife was raised Mormon. I lived in Utah for a long time. So he traces the Mormon Church from its very beginning up until like 2004. And he spends a whole long time in the Elizabeth Smart kidnapping, and there's all kinds of stuff that we were never told. And this is not like a scandalous, gossipy book. I mean, it's a very well-researched book. Like I said, it was like a New York Times reporter, and it's a very well-researched book, but there's just all kinds of stuff that they never really focused on in the media. Like, it's like a Manson thing, because like that girl... Because the guy, if I remember correctly here, and I'm going from memory, because I read the book about a month ago, that girl, Elizabeth, the guy who kidnapped her, already had a wife. Because, of course, all of those nutcase Mormons, and I do draw a distinction between them and the normal Mormons, they're all about polygamy or plural marriage, as they call it. And this guy already had a wife, but I think God woke him up one night and was like, you need somebody younger and blonder. And he goes, okay, Lord. And so he went and he kidnapped Elizabeth Smart. And there's lots of photos that have surfaced now of, like, the guy and Elizabeth Smart, like, walking around downtown together. And there's Elizabeth Smart, not kidnapped, I mean, not bound, not gagged. She's just there with the guy, walking around downtown. I'm not saying she wasn't brainwashed. I'm not saying she wasn't whatever. But she was with it. Whether brainwashed or not, she was with that guy willingly for a long time. And it was all very strange. I mean, it's just it's the most fascinating story to me. Especially if that role is played by Scarlett Johansson, who is of age.
I think Dakota Fanning will play her in her younger
years. Why don't you stop? Dakota Fanning will be the younger sister.
Uh-huh.
Hate you. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, Mr. Colbert was on the O'Reilly Factor last night. Anybody mention that? O'Reilly remarked that the Colbert Report is nothing more than a spoof of his own show.
In a culture war segment tonight, the Colbert Report on Comedy Central is a very successful program that owes everything to me. Each night, host Stephen Colbert tries to convince Americans that he is me.
Colbert jokingly says he's happy to be a guest on O'Reilly's show.
This is an amazing honor. I want you to know that I spend so much time in the world that is spinning all the time that to be in the no-spin zone actually gives me vertigo.
Yes, he has to admit that all the material for his show comes from watching O'Reilly.
Don't you owe me an enormous amount of money?
Well, if I were imitating you, I would, Bill, but there's a difference between imitation and emulation. Let me tell you the difference, okay?
Please.
If you imitate someone, you owe them a royalty check. If you emulate them, you don't. There's a big difference.
And I think that O'Reilly's actually on the Colbert Report as well, or he was. Maybe that was it, because they're swapping, right? That's the thing is, they're swapping places, or not swapping places, but I mean, he's on Colbert's show, and then Colbert is on his show, too. I don't really watch the Colbert Report a lot. I'm more of a Daily Show fan. The Colbert Report is like one, it's a little too wacky for me. It's like one step. I mean, he's a hilarious guy. He's fantastic. He's the best in the world at what he does right now, Stephen Colbert is. But it's like having birthday cake for dinner. It's like having that character for 22 minutes in a row. It's a little too much for me. But I got to demand that great. You know, and the Colbert, did you see that? Because do we all remember? And I think we were off the air when this happened. When Colbert hosted the press dinner, the White House press corps dinner, and he just roasted Bush for like 35 minutes. I mean, you know who they're having this year? Because they had Imus a couple years ago, and the same thing happened. Mm-hmm. And they had Imus up there, and Imus, president's a fat pig, or whatever it is he said, and his wife is a skag, you know, or whatever, just some insane crap coming out of Imus's mouth. And then you can tell that, like, everybody's looking down at the floor, and it's that feeling in the room of whoever booked this is going to be fired. And they didn't learn their lesson. I mean, it was really gratifying to see Stephen Colbert at the White House press corps dinner. We should ask Lisa Goddard about that, you know, last year, because you could tell that all that they read was something on a piece of paper saying, the kids love him. And George W. Bush decided somebody around him said, this is the way to capture the youth. Let's have Stephen Colbert at this dinner. And then Colbert got up there and just reamed the Bush administration, like, with a pickaxe for about 40 minutes, which was so deeply gratifying. Remind me to later play about 2 minutes of Stephen Colbert from something he did a couple years ago that's fantastically brilliant. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, the White House says Iraqis are normal human beings who would rather work than make violence.
That's a lie.
The factories in which they used to go to work went dark after the invasion for a variety of reasons, including
being smashed into rubble.
The insistence by the American occupation authorities that once they were closed, vibrant free market economies would spring into existence and fill the void. $30 billion later, Nothing's happened. So in comes the damaged factory in Romaldi. Toilets sit in rows covered with dust, as they were when production stopped. This is the ghost of a toilet factory. What we're looking for is an investor who wants to come through and take care of this type of operation. These toilets are sturdy. They also make sinks there, but apparently it's been closed since the war started. The people who are guarding the toilet factory also make sinks and insisted the American military take one and crammed one into a military vehicle.
Please, take a toilet. No, you love them. Come back and buy more.
These are nice toilets. They're sturdy.
They are. So this is the key. This is the plan for the Iraq economy.
Toilets.
All right.
Everybody needs... So there are sanitary people.
This is like that. There are clean people.
I mean, you would need one by the time you get home after risking your life to get home from where you came from.
Seriously. Seriously. This is like that. This is like in Roger and Me, where that the exciting idea for Flint's new spark is for everybody to do the, like, home Mary Kay, like facial tests or something. All right. Here's, let's see. What should we do here? Pat, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hi, Rick.
Hello.
How's it going?
Oh, you know, it's rolling along.
Yep, another day in paradise.
Yes, indeed.
Okay, listen, I don't know if this has been postulated before or not, but the thing about the stereotyping and so forth, the edict that came down from the CBS Vatican and so forth, you know, the one that says almost all Chinese waiters are?
Yes.
Okay. My thought is maybe what they're trying to do is get you to say most Chinese waiters are, and then if you say Oriental, then the catch would be that they would say, you say Oriental, and the current phrase, the current way to put that is not Oriental, but Asian. I wonder if that's what they're trying to go for.
Maybe. We had... many weeks ago, we had this conversation, and we had speculated about what it is that they were trying to trick us into saying.
Right.
Somebody, and so you believe that the secret slur is Oriental.
Oriental.
Yeah. Can we all agree that Oriental is a more pleasing sounding word than Asian? Oriental.
I think so.
It's a pretty sounding word.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think there's anything derogatory at all about it, but, you know, who am I?
Well, who are you?
A white man.
Who are
That's who you are.
The oppressor.
Also, what,
a tool of the fascists,
is the subject or are the subjects that I can look forward to today in the suburban view?
I'm sorry.
Perspective or whatever it is.
I'm sorry, what?
The what do you think you're going to cover today with Scotty
in
the suburban perspective?
That's what I was writing down when I just wrote sub on the piece of paper. I was writing suburban perspective.
Oh.
Great minds run alike.
Yeah, yes they do.
Or think alike or something.
Yeah, something like that. Hey, we're losing. Yeah. All right, we got to run, Pat.
I'm on a home line.
Okay, thank you. All right, there you go. Thanks. Appreciate that. And we'll just go. Suburban perspective. But what was it going to be on? Suburban. I must have thought of what it was going to be on. Did I think about this? Did I say out loud what the suburban perspective would be on later?
I don't believe so, no. Oh,
damn it, now I'll never remember.
Oh, we're talking about child rearing.
Ah! Were we ever? Child rearing.
Rearing.
Dakota Fanning, you say. Here's Tim Riley.
From Oakland, Maryland comes word that Frederick Weisland and Thomas Hayden have paid $500 in penalties for baiting black bears with cookies and cakes during the state's bear season in October. Police, acting on a tip, found Hayden hunting from a tree over a pile of sweet baked goods.
That's real hunting right there.
They sent somebody into the woods find out who's feeding cookies to the bears.
That's real hunting. Just sit on a barn with a big bottle of whiskey and a gun. Wait for the bear to come along. It's so gratifying to me whenever a bear just disembowels one of those guys. I wish that happened more frequently.
Here's Tim Riley. Like a scene from the movie A Christmas Story, police had to free a boy who got his tongue stuck on a metal stop sign.
Oh, it's fantastic.
Those are pretty high up, too. Anyone uttered the infamous triple dog dare that goaded the movie's flick into sticking his tongue to a pole is unclear, but police said the boy was surrounded by a group of kids when his tongue froze to the 9-degree weather. The group said the boy was talking smart. Officer...
Don't talk smart!
Daniel Bowman was first to arrive at the scene at Carolyn Barstow Street in Waukesha the other day.
Waukesha.
Oh. And I'm trying to...
No, I only know that because I auditioned for a job in Washington.
How'd it go?
Well, I'm here. Hello, I'm in Portland, Oregon. Waukesha is that's the place where the guy, I've told this story, but that was a job I auditioned for a month before I got hired here. And I got hired here in October of 98, and in September of 98, I auditioned for a job in Waukesha. And in fact, it was on the plane flight back from Waukesha, Wisconsin, that I got the phone call from he who cannot be named, who said, I've got you this gig in Portland, Oregon. I should have smelled like the sulfur in the air at that point. Not because of Portland, but because of that guy. Because of the guy I was dealing with, I should have smelled the brimstone wafting through the phone. Nothing will trust me implicitly. Sign the agreement. but I was in Waukesha, and this is what happened. So I'm there, and I'm doing this. It's a two-day on-air audition. It was a Thursday and a Friday, and this is radio. Radio. This is how it works. I was auditioning for the morning show gig. The actual morning show host had not been fired, didn't know he was going to be fired. He thought he was just on vacation. So the morning show host is out of town. He's gone for like 2 weeks, right? So what do they have? Every 2 days, it's a different guy in filling in for him.
Oh.
He's being told it's just rotating guest hosts. When in reality, I mean, that's what radio is right there. We're all auditioning for his job. We all know it. I felt about it. I should have just emailed him later. Like, dude, I was in auditioning for your job. That was fun. But we were all just auditioning for this guy's job, some poor sod who's off spending his savings, unaware that he's about to be fired. So it's a two-day audition, Thursday and Friday. I come in, I'm doing Thursday's show, first day of a two-day audition, calls, you know, lit up, people are talking to me, I'm thinking it's a great time. Program director, whose name was Jerry, I'm in there, I'm at the studio doing my thing. Studio door opens during a break. This is what I get the... Hey, Rick, you can come back tomorrow for the second day of the audition if you want to, but I don't really see the point. Thanks. Door shuts. Right there. Halfway through my first day's audition. That's a lot of fun. That's what you want to be told. All right. Rick, Oriental is for rugs. Rugs are Oriental. People are Asian, says Faith. I think Oriental, not to dwell on this, but I do believe that there's linguistically, I think that has to do with something being to the east or something. Isn't Oriental and Occidental, one is the East and one is the West? Isn't that what that's about?
You got me.
You are a white man. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, meanwhile, the policeman poured water on the boy's tongue to get it up the side.
Forgot about this.
And he pulled his tongue away. He lost some skin on the tongue on the stop sign, but other than that, he'll be as fine as boys will always be.
Did you ever do that? Did you ever stick your tongue to the metal pole outside in the winter?
I never do something so foolish and childish.
Me either. I've never done it in my life. The only thing that ever happened to me was like a Frosty Pop or something, like a fudge stickle or whatever.
I never hung around with the other kids. I thought they were too childish. I couldn't wait to be old.
I demand that you wear long pants and a cardigan this instant.
Yes.
This kid, I won't say he's a friend of mine. He was this cretin that I had to ride the bus with down the street from me. Because the bus... What the hell logic is this? So I live on a street with all of these ingrates, all of these cretinous children. And like you, and I think Sarah is probably in the same boat here, I just disliked other children growing up. I disliked other children, not that I like them now, but at least I'm not one. I disliked being a child. I didn't enjoy being young. I wanted to be older my whole life. There was nothing enjoyable about childhood to me. So my whole day was every day I'd wake up and I'd look in the mirror and go, still a kid, God damn it, and then I'd walk off to school for another day.
Where did all these come from?
Oh, all these what?
These children. Oh. They're like everywhere in this school.
No, I'm surrounded by young idiots.
There are rooms full of them.
One of my earliest memories is of loathing another child. His name was Chris. I will never forget this. Just one of those kids you could just smell the stupid on him just a mile away. And I'm not saying that I was like some genius or whatever. But I think it is fair to say that I was maybe a little more advanced in some ways. And I'm trying not to sound like a dick when I say it. But I was just a little too smart for my own good. Certainly, I think a little sharper than some of the kids I was in school with. And I can't really take much credit for that. That is, as I always say, my sister, who kind of taught me some stuff early. But I'm there in school, and I remember just looking over, and when you think back at it, like, why would this ever occur to me when I was like six? Like, what the hell was wrong with me? I'm sitting there in kindergarten, so I must have been younger than that, four or five, sitting there, and the teacher is handing out these these things, they used to hand these out, mimeographed sheets. I don't know what they do now because they're Xerox, but these mimeographed sheets, and it was like something you're supposed to, it was like a snowman or whatever, but it was just the outline, and then you're supposed to color it, right? Here's the outline of a snowman. It's just blue and white mimeographed paper. I will give you crayons in a moment, and then when I give you the crayons, you are then to begin filling in the snowman. Keep in mind, I'm like 4 and a half. I'm sitting there in kindergarten, just staring ahead at the wall, just thinking, why am I in this place? Why have they sent me here? What have I done wrong? Maybe if I'm good, they'll let me go home again, you know? And I'm sitting there just hating everything. And she hands out the snowman thing, and then she hands out like the little Tupperware things full of like little nubby crayons that have all been broken in half and stuck up little kids' noses and so forth. And she hands them out, and she says very clearly, don't begin coloring until... Why am I telling this story? But she says... Very clearly, don't begin coloring until I tell you to. What does this idiot mouth breather next to me do? He immediately grabs a fistful of crayons and just begins furiously scribbling all over the snowman. And I look over, and he's just got big, jagged, bucky teeth. And literally, he's doing this, too. Do you know people who do this? He's a mouth breather. And literally, I mean a mouth breather. I mean... As though the crayoning is just draining him of all of his will to live, just sapping every bit of energy he has. As he's crayoning the snowman. He's a mouth breather. The mouth breathing is drying out his teeth and lips. So as he's mouth breathing, he's licking his teeth and lips a lot. And it's making a sort of... sound. And I look over and I just see this gum chewer. Just a real tool user, you know what I mean? Fist full of crayons, mouth full of spit, brain full of goddamn stupid. And I remember looking at this kid and just thinking, God, I have a whole room full of these people around me.
He'll have four little ones by the time he's 21.
So, and he does. No, his sister. His sister, pregnant, 14. Bam.
Yeah.
He'd probably got like 100 kids by now. So... But I have this very clear memory on the first day of kindergarten. And then I swear to God, I'll shut the hell up. I have this very, very clear memory on the first day of kindergarten of reading a book, and it was a book called The Big Cleanup. And it was a book about some... It was told from the point of view of insects. And it was about a bunch of picnickers who left behind some trash, and the insects worked together to take the trash and to build things they need out of it, like a drinking straw gets turned into, like, whatever, like a sewer pipe for insect poo or whatever the hell. The insects take all the trash and they turn it into something for their little insect village. So we're sitting there in kindergarten. The teacher is Pat, you know, she's whatever. We're all reading The Big Cleanup. And it was the first day. And I have this crystal clear memory of kind of looking around, taking in the scene, seeing that there were other classrooms down the hall. And then across the way, there was like a little walk path. And then there was the middle school building. There were 9 classes here, or 9 grades, you know, K-8. And I remember just having kind of a... Well, I guess this is school. All right, let's just buckle down and get through it. 12 years, we'll be done. Let's just, all right, Emerson, let's just keep it together. We'll be done here. And 1991, we'll be out of this place. Let's just, you know, it's like prison. There's only 2 days in prison, first day and the last day. You just got to blank out everything in between. I have the clearest memory of just girding my loins for 12 years of hell. I'm sorry.
I enjoyed that.
Did you work through some issues?
No. I'm still back thinking about Scarlett Johansson being tied up. Your fault. You put that vision in my head. I would normally never think of such things. I like my women strong and able to talk back. All right. 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. We'll come back with more of Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth. Then we'll rinse, then we'll repeat. You stay there, it's the Rick Emerson Show, AM 970. Sound of State Radio.